This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. 70, that is the percentage of micro enterprises and SMEs that have internally sourced their financing needs from family members or personal savings due to financial barriers such as insufficient collateral and lack of documentation. Despite a robust micro-enterprise and SME landscape here in Malaysia, poor access to financing have hampered their ability to grow and achieve greater heights. In fact, a survey by Bank Negara revealed that this is one of the top 10 factors constraining business growth. To address this challenge, Aspirasi, a digital financing platform and fintech provider under Axiata Digital, is simplifying access to essential financial and insurance services. I spoke to Shiyanta Abikun, the executive director of Aspirasi, a few weeks back on how they are helping the SME market. Here's a quick introduction about himself.
Sure. So my name is Shiyanta Abikun. I am the executive director of Aspirasi, and in that capacity, I look over all aspects of the business. I also hold another position as the chief financial officer of the Axiata Digital Group. And in that capacity, I sort of have oversight of the finance function across all the Axiata Digital companies.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps, we can start by talking a little bit about how Aspirasi came about. It's a digital financing platform under the Axiata Digital Group itself. But what led Axiata Group to actually expand into this fintech space?
Sure. So I think Axiata's journey in fintech and sort of the wider sort of digital the ecosystem is sort of almost a seven-year journey. I think we set up Axiata Digital back in 2013. And originally, it was more a sort of with a mandate to experiment, build some adjacencies to our existing business, look for new sources of value, develop just the right skill set to sort of compete in the digital world. And I think about 3 years ago, in 2017, we decided to double down on a couple of key verticals in digital, and fintech was one of them. Now, the reason we decided to go into fintech was when we analyzed it or sort of applied a strategic lens, we found that we had sort of a lot of the right assets to sort of really capitalize on the opportunity in fintech. Now, the opportunity in fintech in our markets is really the bottom of the pyramid base, right? Being able to serve the underserved. Because the large FIs across most of the markets that we operate in, including Malaysia, haven't really served sort of a full spectrum of financial services to both small businesses and consumers. That's sort of the very bottom end of the pyramid. Now, from an Axiata perspective, that was exactly the kind of consumers and small retailers that we have been working with for the last, 15, 20 years. Most of our customers across most of our markets are prepaid customers, so a lot of them are low-income customers. Even here in Malaysia, I think about 60% are prepaid. And if you take sort of our distribution systems, how we actually reach customers in doing things like reloads, selling SIM cards, all of that, that is through a fairly large, expansive sort of dealer retail distribution network. And we've been dealing with these small businesses for a long time. So we understood that segment of customers that really were not getting sort of served by the large financial institutions. And we had developed obviously a lot of trust in that sector with this segment. And we understood, so as a telco, we process thousands of microtransactions. So from a DNA perspective, we kind of were well geared to sort of really understand how micro financial services to these segments could be served. And I guess the other key building block we had was that we had a lot of data on these customers, right? And data is one of the key building blocks when you want to do fintech services these days, whether it's from doing alternative credit lending and so forth, right? So I think we had the fundamental building blocks to get into fintech as an adjacent service and be a serious player. I think over the last 2 years, especially and stuff we've built out, both on the payment side with, our Boost platform on the consumer payment side and also with Aspirasi, targeting small businesses and giving them microloans and microinsurance products. I think we've done done a fairly good job in sort of making sure that that original hypothesis was actually true.
Isn't the market oversaturated already in the fintech space? In what kind of pie that you're trying to capture here? How are you setting yourself apart?
Yeah, so I think when you think about fintech, so there are a lot of when you think about this fintech spectrum, that's a huge spectrum there, right? You get payment services providers, you get wallets, you get I guess insurtech companies that are just setting up, right? And they play both on sort of the consumer side and on the sort of the micro merchant side, right? I think if I talk purely about Malaysia, right, and our focus was really at least in terms of key value proposition, was to focus on the micro merchant side, right? I think that was not very much a crowded space. So there were a lot of payment infrastructure related services, but in terms of offering sort of value added services like digitally dispersed credit, in terms of offering sort of very customized micro insurance products and services to this segment, we actually don't see it as being a very crowded space in Malaysia. I think certainly on the payment side, there are quite a few players in that space. But payments for us was always was not an end in itself. It was more a means to an end. So it was a way in which we would sort of build an ecosystem, build a large base of customers on both maybe the consumer side and the merchant side. But we would sort of really monetize and add value in our business by actually providing financial services and sort of which is what Aspirasi is about.
So on the microfinancing and microinsurance, why are these two as your first two, I guess, go-to-market products? Is this something that the market actually really needs?
So in our assessment, yes. In our assessment, so I think if you if you look at basically the penetration levels, right, in the segment that we are talking about, both of them are underserved in terms of insurance. Both of them are underserved in terms of credit, right? So if you take, Malaysia generally has a sort of a banking penetration rate of about 85%. But most of those people have current accounts, right? So the access to credit is only about 30%. And if you go into these real micro merchant bases, it's even lower. I mean, hardly any of them have access to formal credit. Most of the credit they have is sort of through the informal sector, right? So the short answer is yes. In terms of opportunity, we felt that there was significant headroom for some of these merchants to get credit to grow their businesses, especially during seasonal time, dry, et cetera. And we saw that actually interacting with these customers over the years, both as a telco and then sort of as a payment services provider, we saw a lot of that, those patterns. So we were able to sort of infer that, there is significant demand for microcredit. And to some extent, micro insurance as well. On the micro insurance side, of course, insurance generally is an under-penetrated industry in our markets, but especially in that segment, it is quite under-penetrated. And as a telco in the past, we have worked in some of our other markets with underwriters to distribute our products. So we really understood some of the DNA required in terms of customizing insurance products for our base of customers. So that's probably why we decided to go with these two at the outset.
Now, you've also signed a deal with Great Eastern. I guess that is, to enable your micro insurance offering. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the insurtech landscape in the country. Are we well educated enough to understand, what it brings and the benefits to an organization?
Yeah, I think so. I think insurtech, if you take all the fintech sort of services in our part of the world, insurtech is something that is just sort of at the cusp of growing, and it's just sort of hitting our markets right now. I think at its base, it's really about, applying almost a startup mindset when it comes to insurance. So traditionally, most insurance companies would have a product out there which would serve its basic protection needs of a customer, and they would try and push it out to the market. What we try and do with InsurTech, before we even get to the technologies, understanding of the mindset, right? So we try and understand products that our base would want and try and co-create products with an underwriter. So one example of that I can sort of give you is we have a product that we created for micro SMEs called Key Man Risk. Now, a lot of these small businesses have 3-4 people. When times are uncertain, especially as they are now, if something happens to one or two employees, their business will drop by 50%. So we have come up with a customized insurance product where they would be protected against loss of income, loss of hospitalization covered, and financial assistance. So I think that is the first approach when it comes to insurtech, productizing and sort of catering to products that the market actually needs than the other way around. The second thing, obviously, is to do the entire engagement digitally, so where you can effectively buy an insurance policy completely end-to-end through a digital channel. So there's no human interaction. And today that is possible, and that is possible on our platform. And that includes sort of the whole process of actually even going up to getting your policy issued, right? So I think that process, you know, digitizing that whole customer journey experience. And the third thing, I mean, even in terms of how we think about products, right, it's about making it affordable and convenient, right? So sachet pricing when it comes to, you know, you pay a premium every hour sometimes if you need to on a travel policy. You underwrite, you cover yourself for maybe 2 weeks, not a standard. So you almost have do-it-yourself kind of insurance, right? And by doing that, we can make insurance more engaging and more fun and interactive. I think if you look at the insurtech companies that have been successful, those are some of the principles that they have sort of espoused, and that's also where we are trying to really push the envelope. So you mentioned the GE partnership. I think the GE partnership was great for us because GE was a traditional insurer. They had the underwriting capability. They were very keen to get into the digital space, and we were sort of, you know, a tech company with a captive base of customers. We understood how to do this, and sort of it's sort of a meeting of both those sort of competencies to deliver this value proposition to the market.
We'll take a short break, but when we come back, we will continue our discussion and talk about how their go-to-market strategy has changed in light of what's been happening. BFM 89.9.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, on Tech Talk. And my conversation today is with Shyanta Abikun, the Executive Director of Aspirasi, talking about how they are providing financial help for the SME market. Shyanta, how has things changed with the goals and aims that you've set out for yourself, especially with how COVID-19 has impacted all sectors? How do you think things are going to change?
No, that's a very, very valid question. And let me address that two ways, right? I think one is generally at Aspirasi, we want to give a message out to especially our small micro SME customers, rather, that we are with them for the long haul. So we will be announcing some assistance programs and various things in the coming days and weeks to actually help some of these businesses weather the storm, so to speak, right? So I think first is the messaging, right, that we make sure that the engagement levels remain high with these businesses. These businesses are going to be sort of the most affected, right? The second thing is, obviously, from a financial perspective, we need to buffer up our sort of capital and capabilities, because it's going to be a couple of rough months for no fault of our customers. There could be cases where we do get financially impacted in the short term. But our view is, if we sort of take this period to invest and sort of stay with some of these micro SMEs, we're pretty sure that will build a lot of good value with customers when the clouds clear, so to speak. We've also, on the insurance side, what we've done is we've actually gone into almost fifth gear there. And obviously, in a time like this, there are various protection type products that the customers never thought they would need that now they need. The key man insurance was one, right? So somebody never thought they're going to get ill. Someone never thought what's going to happen to my business. Now they want that kind of protection. So we've actually, on the insurance side, actually gone into overdrive to try and get some of these products out to customers very, very quickly. To meet some of their protection needs. So that, in a nutshell, is how we are looking at it. Obviously, being part of the Axiata group, we are in this for the long haul, and we also have the financial muscle and sort of backing to be in this business for the long haul, therefore. It is going to be a couple of very, very tough months for our customers, and I think on all sides, our view is we engage with them sort of much more closely. We look for areas and products that we can now deliver to them, given the business we are in and given the predicament some of them are in. I think that's pretty much the thinking right now internally.
I guess, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is only temporary, and you know, there is still a need to think long term as well for businesses.
Definitely, I think it is. But I think the key point that we want to make is our customers sometimes don't have the luxury of doing that, because some of these small customers, some of these small businesses, potentially can't last, let's say, a one month or a 2 month sort of storm, right? Mm-hmm. They can't survive with a shutdown over, let's say, a couple of weeks. So we are very cognizant of that, and that's why we think that we need to be there and sort of have products that can cater to that segment right now.
Now, there's also been a lot of discussion around Axiata's bid for a digital bank. Can you share a progress update on that? And, you know, I guess the overall aim for being a digital bank?
Yeah, so I mean, so first of all, I think we publicly said that we are looking at the license, the digital banking license, which Bank Negara has sort of already come up with the exposure draft for. I need to say at the outset that it was a very progressive move by Bank Negara. And sort of the exposure draft made a lot of emphasis on sort of developing new technologies and serving underserved segments, which is exactly sort of the business that we've been doing for the last 3 months, sort of last 3 years rather, both on sort of the payment side as well as sort of on the micro finance and insurance side. So I guess from our perspective, it's almost a natural progression of the businesses that we built today. Right. The fintech businesses we've built, and in Malaysia, we've built a couple of very successful fintech businesses. So that's really the reason we were looking at the digital banking license. And obviously, the framework, as I mentioned, that they have articulated in the exposure draft is exactly in line with the model that we've been actually putting to practice in the marketplace. So I guess from an update perspective, that's probably all I can sort of provide it right now. But we are looking at the license quite prospectively, and I think when the application do open, I think we hope to potentially be one of the participants.
And if Axiata does receive the digital banking license, this would fall under aspirasi?
Well, I think we haven't finalized the exact structure, but I think aspirasi will be one of the components because obviously aspirasi is a micro-lending business, and micro-lending will be a key component of our digital banking proposition. So aspirasi will definitely be one of the components.
Looking ahead, are you looking at any other areas that you're going to venture into? Any other, you know, underserved areas here in Malaysia that you're keeping an eye on?
So in terms of segments, is it? So another segment that we might potentially, again, we're looking at a lot of underserved segments. So another segment that we may potentially look at is the foreign worker segment, right? The foreign worker segment, we think, again, is an underserved segment. Again, as Axiata, we are in a lot of markets where a lot of foreign workers here actually flow their remittance to. So if you take the Axiata footprint, we have very very large presence in countries like Bangladesh, in Indonesia, Cambodia, Sri Lanka, Nepal. So that's another potential area that we may look at coming up with some services for foreign workers, touching a little bit on the remittance side. On the consumer side, we may look at coming up with some products for customers of Boost. That would be all customers of Celcom. That would be more linked to the core services. So it could be something like, you know, an impulse credit product for Boost. It could be something like, device financing for Celcom. So we may get into those adjacencies, but our core focus right now would be on the SME opportunity because really we are really at the tip of the iceberg still in addressing that.
Shianta, has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And that was Shianta Abikun, the executive director of Aspirasi. And you can check out more on how they can help you with some financial assistance, especially if you are a micro SME, through their website. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and if you missed any parts of this conversation, you can download the podcast now, available on the BFM website or the BFM app. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.